Ciao, sono Mark e oggi ho una notizia. We have some fantastic news for Italian learners. Starting February 2024, our Coffee Break Italian Masterclass is a brand new way to help you take your Italian to the next level. Aimed at intermediate Italian speakers who want to move on to an advanced level, the masterclass covers advanced topics such as pronouns, the conditional perfect, the passive voice, subjunctive structures, and much more, and it ultimately helps you sound more Italian. It's a six-month coaching course with a different module covered each month, and it starts on the 1st of February. The lessons are self-access, so you can work through each module and benefit from feedback and support from our wonderful masterclass tutors, Francesca and Maurizio. Imagine building your fluency with the Coffee Break Italian team over the next 6 months. Does this sound fantastico? Search today for Coffee Break Italian Masterclass or visit coffeebreaklanguages.com/Italian and join the class of February 2024. Places are limited and we're starting soon. Allora, cosa aspetti? Ci vediamo alla masterclass. Coffee Break Italian Magazine, Season 1, Episode 3.
Ciao a tutti e bentornati a un nuovo episodio del nostro Coffee Break Magazine. Io sono Francesca.
E io sono Mark. We are delighted to be back with another episode of the magazine. And this is the show in which we are helping you continue to study Italian, maintain your level of Italian, and of course in every episode, increase that a little bit more with some new vocabulary, some new grammar, and one or two idiomatic expressions.
Esatto, Mark. E devo dire che siamo molto contenti di aver ricevuto così tanti commenti incoraggianti che... Sì, ci hanno fatto molto piacere.
Esatto.
Siamo felici che questo nostro nuovo formato sia piaciuto.
Esatto, e grazie molte a tutti.
Sì, sì, sì.
Thank you all very much for the comments that you've sent us. We are delighted that you're enjoying the magazine and that it's something a little bit different. We didn't feel that we were ready immediately to go ahead with season 3 of the Coffee Break Italian normal podcasts, if you like. So that's why we felt that this magazine format would give us the chance to increase the range of vocabulary and take that breadth of vocabulary with us as we move forward.
Sì, è vero. E poi di solito i nostri ascoltatori sono contenti di scoprire cose nuove,
sì,
sull'Italia, perché così a volte tendiamo a semplificare un po' e pensiamo che l'Italia sia solo pizza, vacanze, canzoni, ma noi vogliamo andare oltre i soliti
stereotipi.
Sì,
esatto.
Sì. Sì, vogliamo raccontare l'Italia un po' meno conosciuta.
Esatto. Talking of that, what areas? We've covered some areas so far. We've talked about the Bocca della Verità, which is obviously quite conosciuta.
Sì, sì, sì.
Last time we looked at Il Gargano, which is definitely not the perhaps the most common region of Italy where people think of beach holidays and so on. But I've been looking into it.
Ok, bravo, hai fatto i compiti.
Ho fatto i compiti, esatto. Allora, cosa hai per noi oggi?
Ok, allora, ti spiego. La settimana scorsa all'università dove lavoro ho parlato delle minoranze linguistiche in Italia.
Molto interessante.
Sì, e così ho avuto l'ispirazione per il podcast di oggi.
Ok.
E oggi vi parlerò della comunità Valser.
Valser?
Sì.
Non ho mai sentito questo nome. Mi sembra un po' tedesco.
Sì, no, non ti sbagli. Adesso ti racconterò e anche agli ascoltatori perché ti sembra un po' tedesco questo nome.
Ok, va bene. Allora, ascoltiamo la presentazione di Francesca.
Come ho preannunciato prima, oggi vi parlerò della comunità Valser. È vero, questo nome sembra un po' tedesco, ma non preoccupatevi, questo non è Coffee Break German. Ma chi sono questi Valser? I Valser sono una popolazione di origine germanica che abita nella zona del Monte Rosa da centinaia di anni, addirittura dall'VIII secolo dopo Cristo. Se la geografia non è il vostro forte, Posso dirvi che ci troviamo nel territorio compreso tra il Piemonte e la Valle d'Aosta, nel nord-ovest d'Italia, molto lontano dal Gargano di cui abbiamo parlato nel podcast scorso. La storia dei valzer ci permette di capire che l'emigrazione è un fenomeno antichissimo. Infatti, i valzer hanno lasciato le loro case nell'Alto Vallese, in Svizzera, per cercare nuove terre da coltivare, un clima più mite e anche maggiore libertà. Come sempre, non abbiamo tempo per descrivere tutte le meraviglie di questo popolo così speciale ed attento a proteggere la propria cultura. Ma alcune cose vanno comunque ricordate. I valzer parlano una lingua chiamata Tich, simile al tedesco della Svizzera. Ovviamente conoscono l'italiano, ma vogliono tutelare la loro identità linguistica e, proprio per questo, la loro lingua è considerata una delle 12 lingue minoritarie italiane. Se visitate paesi come Gressonei, Alagna o Macugnaga, potrete ancora sentire il suono di questa affascinante lingua mentre passeggiate tra le tradizionali case in legno e pietra tipiche dell'architettura valzer. E non dimenticate di provare i Pompernosselne, deliziosi dolci fritti con l'aggiunta di grappa. Ecco, è tutto per il podcast di oggi. Spero che questo breve viaggio nel fantastico mondo dei valzer vi sia piaciuto e chissà, forse può essere un'idea per la vostra prossima vacanza culturale.
La prossima vacanza culturale è molto interessante, ma comunque, can we just go back to that delizioso dolce fritto? How did you pronounce it?
I don't know if I'm right in pronouncing the way I am. Pompernosselene.
I think it sounds quite amazing, and I like the fact that it's aggiunta di grappa.
La grappa, sì.
We'll come back to that as we go through this text, because as usual, we're going to go through the text in greater detail now, and Francesca will read the Italian, and I'll help to explain the English, and of course Francesca can give us some further examples of these interesting words and phrases that have come up, including that fabulous name of the delicious fried delicacy.
Maybe we have some valzer among our listeners.
Maybe we do, yes.
And so indeed, if you can get in touch and let us know the right pronunciation, it would be very interesting.
Absolutely. And I think also what we should do is perhaps, I'm sure with linguistic minorities, there are very often very active people online, so communities online, whether it be Facebook groups or YouTube channels or so on. So I think we should certainly share this episode with those groups.
Sì, sì,
hopefully can share some cultural ideas.
Sarebbe bellissimo, sì.
Let's go back through the text.
Ok, allora, come ho preannunciato prima...
So as I literally pre-announced before, kind of anticipated.
Sì.
Ok.
Oggi vi parlerò della comunità valzer.
So we've got a future tense here and also that V that we've heard before. Because Francesca in each of these episodes is talking to all of us as the listeners, she's using V. If she was just talking to me, then she would say ti parlerò.
Sì.
To you, I speak. But V is to all of you.
Sì.
So vi parlerò della comunità valzer. I will speak to you about the valzer community.
È vero, questo nome sembra un po' tedesco.
It's true, this name seems a little German.
Ma non preoccupatevi, questo non è Coffee Break German.
But don't worry, this isn't Coffee Break German, so you're still listening to the correct podcast.
Sì.
This is Coffee Break Italian, but let's go back to that, ma non preoccupatevi.
Okay.
Francesca, how would you tell one person, don't worry?
Non preoccuparti.
So you're using the infinitive and then you're adding on the reflexive pronoun.
Sì.
Literally, don't worry yourself.
Sì.
However, here we're talking about vi, the voi form, the sì. Second person plural. So in that case, we don't use the infinitive, we use the conjugated verb
sì.
With the reflexive pronoun on the end.
Esatto.
Non preoccupatevi.
Sì.
Good.
Questo non è Coffee Break German.
It's not Coffee Break German.
Uh-huh. Ma chi sono questi valzer?
But who are these valzer?
I valzer sono una popolazione di origine germanica.
So the valzer are a population of Germanic origin.
Che abita nella zona del Monte Rosa.
So they live in the Monte Rosa area.
E da centinaia di anni.
For hundreds of years. They've been living there for hundreds of years. So we're using a present tense verb, abita, but we're using a da, which gives us a past in English.
Sì.
So they have been living there for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. And it implies that they're still living there.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Addirittura dall'ottavo secolo dopo Cristo.
So addirittura is one of those words that you add for extra emphasis.
Sì,
so
sì.
In fact, from the 8th century AD or Common Era.
Se la geografia non è il vostro forte.
If geography isn't your forte, we can say forte
sì.
In English.
Posso dirvi che ci troviamo nel territorio compreso tra il Piemonte e la Valle d'Aosta.
Okay, so this is a little more complicated. I can say to you, I can tell you, posso dirvi, there's that vi again, that we find ourselves nel territorio compreso tra il Piemonte e la Valle d'Aosta.
Sì.
So in the territory in between Piemonte and Valle d'Aosta.
Sì, nel nord-ovest d'Italia.
So in the northwest of Italy.
Molto lontano dal Gargano.
Very far from the Gargano.
Di cui abbiamo parlato nel podcast scorso.
About which we have spoken in the last podcast. So, di cui, that's a nice relative pronoun again, di cui, of which, or about which.
La storia dei Walser ci permette di capire che l'emigrazione è un fenomeno antichissimo.
Okay, so the story or the history of the Walser allows us, permits us, ci permette. Now there we've got ci, which is different from vi.
Sì.
Vi is to all of you and sì. Ci is to us.
Yeah, we include ourselves.
Exactly. So, la storia dei Walser ci permette di capire, it allows us to understand or it permits us to understand che l'emigrazione, that emigration, è un fenomeno antichissimo. Is an ancient, a very ancient phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Infatti, i Walser hanno lasciato le loro case nell'Alto Vallese in Svizzera.
So in fact, the Walser have left, or they left their houses in the Alto Vallese in Switzerland.
Per cercare nuove terre da coltivare.
In order to find new ground to cultivate.
Un clima più mite.
A more mild climate.
Sì, e anche maggiore libertà.
And also more liberty, more freedom. It's interesting there because we've got two different types of comparative. We can form a comparative with more something, so more plus the adjective, in this case more mild.
Sì, più mite.
But we also have greater freedom. So there is, it's more with a noun. And in this case it's...
Maggiore.
So maggiore is the greater part. Could we have said più libertà?
Sì, più libertà, but there are some adjectives like maggiore or migliore, better, which sound better in this, let's say, irregular form.
And I think possibly if we had made that più, it would have sounded a little less like a formal text.
Sì, esatto.
Maybe more
sì,
spoken.
Sì, sì,
okay.
Esatto.
Good. Let's continue on.
Come sempre, non abbiamo tempo per descrivere tutte le meraviglie di questo popolo.
So, as ever, as usual, we don't have time to describe all the marvels of this population, of this people.
Mm-hmm. È così speciale.
So, it's such a special people.
Ed attento a proteggere la propria cultura.
And again, another way to describe these people, they're very much attentive in protecting their own culture. So they're very much keen to protect that culture, that very particular culture.
Ma alcune cose vanno comunque ricordate.
This is a lovely expression because we've got vanno here from andare.
Sì.
So literally, but some things are going, however... to be remembered or something like that.
Sì.
But it's not quite that, is it?
No, andare in this context means must be, have to. So there is the idea of a command, of an order somehow.
Let's compare it to the passive forms we looked at in the previous lesson. So could we say here, alcune cose vengono comunque ricordate, That would have a different meaning, wouldn't it?
Grammatically would be correct, but the meaning is different. Mm-hmm. If we say alcune cose vengono ricordate, it means that some things are remembered.
Yep.
But there is not the idea that there is an order of mm-hmm. remembering things.
But here where we're saying vanno ricordate, we're saying things ought to be remembered, things should be taken into consideration.
Esatto. We can replace vanno with devono.
Devono.
Alcune cose devono comunque essere ricordate.
So in that case we have to say devono essere, but the vanno encapsulates the devono essere.
Sì, sì.
Okay.
Another example is va detto che. It has to be said that.
That's nice. Va detto che. Okay, good.
Sì.
This is what this is all about. It's about extending our language range, and this is a wonderful way of doing so. Thank you, Francesca.
Oh, prego.
Okay, let's continue to find out what these things are, these few things che vanno comunque ricordate.
Allora, i valzer parlano una lingua chiamata Tich.
So the valzer speak a language called Tich.
Simile al tedesco della Svizzera.
And this is similar to Swiss German.
Ovviamente conoscono l'italiano.
Obviously they know Italian.
Ma vogliono tutelare la loro identità linguistica.
But they want to protect, tutelare?
Sì, to protect, to safeguard.
To safeguard their linguistic identity.
E proprio per questo?
And exactly for this.
La loro lingua è considerata una delle 12 lingue minoritarie italiane.
So their language is considered one of the 12 minority languages of Italy.
Sì.
Now I have to admit something here. We actually paused the recording because we were getting so excited talking about these minority languages as it's something that's very interesting for both of us.
Sì.
So Francesca, can you summarize our past 10 minutes of discussion?
Sì, in Italy, not just Italian is spoken, but there are like other languages mm-hmm. which are spoken among smaller or bigger communities mm-hmm. like Albanian, mm-hmm. German, Greek, Slovenian.
Yeah.
Croatian, uh-huh. even Catalan.
Yeah, that's the one that surprises me. I think there's Alghero?
Alghero, sì, in Sardegna,
sì. Where there is a Catalan community. And all of these languages perhaps are national languages elsewhere or regional languages elsewhere. But there are also two or three languages, I think you mentioned, which are more linked to dialects, perhaps older languages that are still spoken by some people.
Sì, there are languages like il Ladino, for example.
Ladino, and that's the Ladino spoken in the north of Italy,
sì.
as opposed to what is sometimes known as Judeo-Spanish, a language spoken by Sephardic Jews.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ladino Italian version,
sì.
Spoken in the north of Italy.
Sì, e anche French.
Of course.
Il francese. E franco-provenzale. I'm not
okay.
sure how to say it in English.
I've never said it in English, but franco-provenzale in French.
Okay, okay.
So that would be spoken not too far from where you live.
Esatto, sì. E il friulano.
Okay, so Friulian. I'm not.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Occitano.
Occitano. So that's Occitan, which is the kind of generic term for all of the languages spoken along, really from the Spanish border all the way to the Italian border and into Italy.
Sì.
So things like Ligurian linked to Nisart and Provençal and not Franco-Provençal, but the other Provençal. I think we're kind of getting too into this because we're enjoying this and perhaps our listeners are thinking, yeah, can
I? I know. One more language I think we mentioned all of them. So il sardo.
Ah, il sardo. So that's Sardinian from island of Sardegna.
Sì, una lingua veramente affascinante. Anzi, mm-hmm. saluto tutti gli amici sardi. Aio.
Aio. Okay. Let's get back to our text.
Okay. E se visitate paesi come Grissonei, Alagna o Macugnaga.
If you visit villages like Grissonei, Alagna or Macugnaga,
bravissimo, potrete ancora sentire il suono.
You will be able still to hear the sound
di questa affascinante lingua.
Of this fascinating language.
Mentre passeggiate tra le tradizionali case in legno e pietra.
While you're wandering between the traditional wooden and stone houses.
tipiche dell'architettura valser.
So we're still talking about the houses that they're typical of the valser architecture.
E non dimenticate di provare i pompernosselene.
So
aiuto!
Don't forget to try the pompernosselene.
Sì, deliziosi dolci fritti.
So these are delicious fried desserts.
Con l'aggiunta di grappa.
With the addition of a little bit of grappa.
Sì, che buona.
A sort of water of life type spirit, a strong liqueur.
Sì, very strong.
A strong spirit.
Ecco, è tutto per il podcast di oggi.
There we go, that's all for today's podcast.
Spero che questo breve viaggio nel fantastico mondo dei valzer vi sia piaciuto.
So I hope that this short journey in the fantastic world of the valzer pleased you, vi sia piaciuto. So a subjunctive in there based on the spero che.
Sì.
Spero che questo breve viaggio vi sia piaciuto, pleased to you, was pleasing to you.
E chissà.
And who knows?
Forse può essere un'idea.
Perhaps it could be an idea.
Per la vostra prossima vacanza culturale.
For your next cultural vacation.
Sì.
Now, if you would like to get more out of the Coffee Break Italian magazine, then you may be interested in signing up for the full course over at the Coffee Break Academy. For each episode of the magazine, we also provide a transcript with lesson notes, vocabulary lists, and exercises to help you get the most out of this course. Head over to coffeebreakacademy.com for more information. Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed learning about I valzer. And we're sticking to the topic of language today with our phone-in question because we've got another question from another listener. Now, if you would like to contact us and ask your question, then you can do so by going to coffeebreakquestions.com. But let's focus on today's question, and that's coming from Barbara. Over to you, Barbara.
Ciao. I'm Barbara from Idaho in the USA. I'm in year two of Coffee Break Italian. One question I have concerns formal and informal structures. I understand the situations in which they are used, but I'm not confident with the words within the verb conjugations. Do we usually practice informal in our lessons? I recall occasions of hearing lei and lui and Mark or Francesca cueing us to respond either formally or informally, but perhaps I need more review. When I do meet an Italian speaker, I don't want to offend her or him. Grazie mille for the Academy's work.
Thank you, Barbara, for your question. Okay, Francesca, this is a tricky subject.
It is. I know at times it can be a bit confusing.
And I think for some learners, for many learners, the grammatical part isn't too complicated. In the sense that we know which parts of the verb we choose, we know which pronouns to use. It's the sort of emotional part, the social part of making the decision between tu or lei. Let's run through very quickly what those two forms are. So if we're talking in the informal, then you would be?
Tu.
Of course. So if I was with a group of friends and I wasn't quite sure which one was Mario, I wanted to ask, are you Mario? I would say.
Tu sei Mario.
Okay. But of course, if we're looking at the formal you form, then we'd be looking at?
Lei.
And so in the same scenario, perhaps we're at a business meeting and I'm not quite sure which one is Mario Benvenuti.
Yeah.
Okay, so how would I say, are you Mr. Mario Benvenuti?
Lei è il signor Mario Benvenuti.
So there we're using not the tu sei, but lei è.
Sì.
And it's the third person singular of the verb, the same one for he or she. And of course, the word lei means she originally, mm-hmm. but it's been borrowed, as you said,
sì.
For the euformal. But it's the difficulty, I think, is making that decision as to when in a relationship do you start using the lay form or the to form from the lay form.
Sì, è vero. It's not always clear. I mean, there are some rules. If you are among friends or family members or children, you would obviously use the to form. And if you are in a formal situation, like with a business partner or at work, university, then you would tend to use the formal way of speaking. But at times it can be a bit like a borderline. Mm-hmm. So people actually agree on the level of formality they're going to use. And there are some sentences, phrases, yeah. I can tell you.
That sounds good, okay.
Okay, so for example, you could say, posso darti del tu?
So can I literally give you some of the tu?
Sì.
Now, that's already quite a decision because you've decided, okay, I'm going to use tu, so I'm going to ask, would you ever say, posso darle del tu?
Sì, 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 sì.
So you're using the formal form
you
there.
You could.
But if you say posso darti del tu, you've already kind of made that,
you are.
That decision.
Sì, sì.
Okay.
You could use both. Posso darle, and you're still speaking in a formal way, del tu. Uh-huh. Or posso darti, and you have already made that step mm-hmm. towards informality.
So in that decision, in that situation there, you're suggesting, can I call you tu, and by return, I expect you to call me tu?
Normally, yes, but it could also be that the other person would rather stick to the formal way of speaking.
So when you ask that question, do you sometimes get no?
No, I mean, you already have a feeling that that's the right thing to do. So,
okay.
But you still want to be polite and make sure that it's okay.
So what are some other phrases that we could use?
You could encourage the other person to switch to the informal way of speaking by saying, diamoci del tu. Oh,
so let's call each other tu.
Sì.
Okay.
Or it happens to me, like at times my students, especially when they come from Italy, mm-hmm. They use the lei form
right.
with me. And here in the UK, we tend to be more informal. So I would say, oh, non darmi del lei.
So don't call me lei.
Uh-huh.
Is there a sense that makes you feel a little...
Yes.
Yeah. I think the word I was going to use was old.
Yes.
So you want to feel a little younger and therefore you say...
Definitely.
Yeah, non darmi sì. De lei.
Unfortunately, the lei form is an indicator of your age.
Or experience and wisdom.
Wisdom.
And,
okay. And one more. Sì, dammi del tu.
Yeah,
like,
so
talk to me using
to me
the formal, informal way of speaking. So.
Yeah. I do think one of the things that I find difficult about the formal and informal forms is that it varies from language to language. Obviously, in English, we only have one you these days, at least in standard English.
Sí.
In certain parts of the English-speaking world, thou is used, I think. But when it comes to other languages, so for example, in French, I think people go further with vous than they perhaps would do in some parts of Italy with lei. And I think it's the opposite in Spanish, certainly in Spain. Tú is used much, much more commonly now than usted. And I guess the same, although in Germany it's different. Again, it's fascinating.
It is. Sí, sí, sí.
We've been having a bit of a language loving at this, in this
we
episode.
We love it, so we can't help it.
Talking about dialects and talking about this kind of sociolinguistic side of things
sí.
Where we're looking at register and... And I suppose we should just be thankful that we're learning Italian, which has only two forms, whereas other languages have many more forms.
Sì, è vero.
Okay, thank you, Barbara, again for your question. And we shall move on to our final segment now of the show.
Va bene.
Okay, in this episode, we've been talking about using tu or lei and all the social elements that go with that. And we've also been looking at a very interesting topic, the topic of the valser,
sí.
A linguistic and social community, a minority in Italy.
Sì, Sì, sono davvero interessanti secondo me i valzer e devo dire che hanno fatto tantissimo per rifarsi una vita in un nuovo paese e per tutelare il loro patrimonio linguistico e culturale.
To support, to protect that, to safeguard was the word you were using for
Sì.
tutelare, to safeguard that linguistic and cultural heritage, patrimonio.
Esatto. In italiano diremmo che i valzer non sono stati con le mani in mano.
That's brilliant. Okay, so you said diremmo, a conditional tense there. We would say that the valzer non sono stati con le mani in mano. So literally, they have not been with the hands in hand.
Ah,
Okay, can
sì.
you explain?
Sì, stare con le mani in mano significa non fare niente, praticamente, non essere attivi. So
Okay.
basically you're using your hands to put them in your hands.
Yeah, okay. So in that situation, what we are seeing is a positive thing. They've been very active
Sì.
about protecting their own culture.
Sì, perché i valzer non stanno mai con le mani in mano.
Capito? Che bella espressione, Francesca,
Ah,
grazie.
prego, figurati.
E tu non sei stata con le mani in mano?
No, ho lavorato un pochino per fare la mia ricerca, ma nemmeno i nostri ascoltatori sono stati con le mani in mano, visto che continuano a inviarci messaggi e anche continuano a studiare per migliorarsi sempre di più.
Esatto, everyone's been working hard. E forse potremmo dire anche che qui a Coffee Break nessuno sta con le mani in
È
mano.
vero, è vero.
Allora, è tutto per oggi. Thank you once again for tuning in to this episode of the Coffee Break Italian magazine. We hope you're continuing to enjoy this. Let us know what you think. You can, of course, post a comment on the website. You can let us know with a review on iTunes or a recommendation on Facebook or whatever. You can find us, of course, at coffeebreakitalian.com. And if you'd like the transcript for this episode, then you can find that too at coffeebreakitalianplus.com. Everything is there. But that's it for today. È tutto per oggi.
Sì, è tutto. Alla prossima, allora.
Grazie, ciao.
Ciao.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.